The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the festival of the Holy Trinity. This is the only day in our liturgical calendar that's based on a doctrine instead of stories from the Bible. As such, it would be really easy to turn a sermon into a lecture on the Trinity. There are many things that could be said, as there have been many debates over the past almost 2,000 years about our triune God. The reason for so many debates is that it's difficult for us to comprehend how God is one in three persons and three persons in one. It just doesn't make sense if we try to figure it out. How can God be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three people, but one at the same time? This belief in the triune God is what makes us distinctly Christian. And yet, this belief in the triune God can cause us great confusion. There have been debates. We have creeds. There's written doctrine. There's even heresies that have surrounded the understanding of the triune God. And here we are. We're going to wrap it all up into one festival Sunday. But are we? We really aren't, because today we aren't here to try and figure out the Trinity in our heads. We're here to celebrate our faith. The faith that we have in our hearts. The faith that we have in this triune God. Because this is one of our great mysteries of faith. The mystery of just how God works as the Trinity. So there's the end of the mini lecture and on to the text for the day. Both of our readings from 2 Corinthians and from Matthew come from their very ends. From the ends of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth and from the ends of Matthew's gospel. The gospel reading that we hear comes from after the resurrection, when Jesus called together the 11 disciples who remained to talk to them. He gave them what we have come to know as the Great Commission, even though Matthew never calls it that. What Jesus tells the disciples is to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. This is a new vocation for the disciples, the vocation of going out and making disciples of other people, which is no small task for them. These words at the end of Matthew's gospel are a new beginning for the work of the disciples. They now have what they are to do. They are to go out and to get more people to follow Jesus. Before the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus spent significant time teaching the disciples what it means to be one of his followers. He made it clear that this wouldn't be an easy life. Throughout this summer, we will hear some of those teachings. We will be reminded again about the fact that being a follower of Jesus isn't easy. The fact that the life of discipleship isn't easy was not sugarcoated by Jesus in Matthew. He told them, there will be persecutions. There will be torture. There will even be hatred and betrayal. They'll be like sheep who are sent out in the midst of wolves, and even more things will happen to them. And yet, in the midst of this struggle, there is hope and encouragement. That hope and encouragement comes from Jesus' last statement. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. That's what we talk about when we talk about the triune God. We talk about the one who is always with us. When we are disciples, when we are the ones who have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, when we are the ones who have been taught what Jesus commanded, when we are the ones who end up going into the struggles that come with being Christians, we know that we do this as ones who are known by our God intimately. We know that our God has taken on our flesh and blood to show himself to us through the person of Jesus. We know that Jesus is the ultimate showing of God's divine love for us, that the love our Lord has for us knows no bounds. We know that Jesus' promises to us come true through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We see that this ending of Matthew's gospel is really just a beginning. It's a beginning of life with the identity of as Jesus' disciples. It's a beginning of a new life for each of us. We are the people who have our scriptures. We can read them and hear the stories of how God worked in the past. When we read these stories and we recollect what happened in the past, we can then look to see how God is present here and now. But then we also look to the future. We look at how we move into the future to see how it is that we take this great commission seriously in our lives. We look to how we can make disciples of other people. We look at how we can bring others to baptism. We look at how we can teach others what we know and what we believe. We look at how we can live our lives and glorify God by being disciples. Without current disciples going out, and that includes us, and proclaiming what we have been taught and what we believe, there will be no disciples that come after us. These words from Jesus are ones that we see here at St. Paul's every week. Each week, this statement that Jesus made at the end of Matthew's gospel is written on your news bulletins. Because that is the mission statement that we have in this place. It's a grand mission. It's a mission that was given by none other than Jesus himself. It's a mission that every Christian in every time and place has had. So let me ask, how are we doing with this mission? Are we at St. Paul's reaching out to people of all nations and making them disciples? Are we at St. Paul's really bringing people in and baptizing them in the name of the triune God? Are we really going out from this place and teaching others all that we have read and that we know about Jesus? Here's some answers. Through our social outreach network, we do reach out. We are connected to people in Africa through the work that we do with the orphanage in Ghana. We are connected to missionaries in Thailand. In those ways, we reach out to people through our prayers and through our finances to help others around the world. We are connected through our Delaware, Maryland Synod to people who are in Tanzania, Estonia, and Finland. Through the larger church, we're connected to various people around the world. We're connected because we are part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are connected to our community through the work that we do through collections throughout the year. When we collect food for the holidays that then gets distributed through the Salvation Army, we are connected to others. When we collect gifts at Christmas for the Salvation Army and for students at Reservoir High School, we are connected to others. When we collect school supplies to be distributed by campus ministry at the University of Maryland, we are connected to others. When we collect items during Vacation Bible School to help others in need, we are connected to others. When we prepare meals for Grassroots of Howard County, we're connected to others. We are reaching out to help other people. We are following Jesus' call to help those who are in need. Is there room for improvement? There's always room for improvement in everything that we do. Do we have people who come in and who are baptized? We do have that. It's not like in droves like it was for the earliest disciples in the book of Acts. But not to be discouraged, that's not unique to St. Paul's. There are many other churches that are the same way. We are Lutherans, which sadly means we often joke about the struggle we have with going out and teaching others. Maybe we shouldn't joke about it as much, and we should go out and do it. So while we have this mission statement, one that comes right from our gospel, while we join in others in following Jesus throughout time and throughout place where we are working on this mission statement, sometimes we have to think about maybe narrowing it down because it might seem a bit broad for what we're doing in this place. I often feel like the broader the mission statement, the more difficult it is to live into. That's where we are at this point at St. Paul's. We've been through a lot of transition here over the last few years. We're in the midst of a changing neighborhood. So it's the perfect time for us to look at who we are and what we're doing. This summer, we will hear the texts that remind us of just how difficult it is to be followers of Jesus. But this summer, we're also going to be starting the process of examining who we are as individuals and as a congregation, and seeing what it is that God has us doing here in this place. This summer will bring us a lot to think about, and we'll have a lot to think about in the next few years. As we work through this thinking, through our exploring and discovering together, we have a start. We have the umbrella of this mission through this great commission, which we will always have. But we also have time and space to narrow it down a bit, to look at the scope of the work we do, and to be more focused in our call here. We have this time and space to see specifically what we're doing here in Fulton, and how we can focus our work on where we are, of who we are, and where we want to be. Like Jesus gave these words at the end of Matthew's gospel, these words were just the beginning of a new chapter in the lives of the disciples and in the life of the church. And we are at a place of beginning as well. We read these words from Matthew's gospel and we look at them as a new beginning for us. We do this knowing the intimacy we have with our God. We take that intimacy with us individually, and we come together collectively. We turn to the one who took on our flesh and blood to see where we are going. We turn to Jesus because he became one of us. He knew the pains of this world, and we learn from him how to follow. We turn to the Spirit who is dwelling in each of us, who has been promised to be with us at all times, and we live into that following. When Paul ended his letter to the Corinthians, he used the words that we begin our worship services with: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He had written a letter that appealed to the people for their discipleship. He had written a letter to give encouragement, that gave explanations, and which admonished the people for the things that they had done wrong. And then he reminded them. Paul reminded them of their identity, that they have gifts as God's people. He reminded them who they belong to. And this reminder came in the form of where their life together begins. In the grace of Christ, in the love of God, in the communion of the Spirit, through the triune God who brings them and us together. The disciples were given new life. The people at Corinth were reminded of their identity and the new life that they have through God, the one who created the world, the one who redeemed the world, the one who sustains the world. That's the same new life that we are given. It's the same identity and new life that we have from our God. The triune God from our scriptures, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, is the one who claims us, is the one who leads us. Today we've set aside time to celebrate the Trinity. We take this time, but we also go forth and abide in this grace, love, and communion from our God. We continue on in our life as disciples, being led by the Trinity. In our heads, we may not understand how this all works. But faith isn't just about what we think. Yes, we can and should think hard about what we believe, but sometimes we are called to embrace things as the mysteries of God. So let us do that and go forth from this place living each day as disciples. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.